honesty, passion, experience. It's Timberwolves Explosion, hosted on the Paladino Live Network. And now, your host, Paladino Joey. Hello again, Timberwolves fans. Are you ready for the explosion of Timberwolves basketball? I am your host, Paladino Joey, or Joey Awajin. Timberwolves Explosion is available on all of your favorite podcasting apps. I thank each and every one of you once and always for downloading and listening to this show. It is a great pleasure to be back on board with you once again today, as the All-Star break is now over and we got four games to preview. It's going to be like a two-segment shot. I might even do a one-segment shot. See how things go. Let's just do two. What the heck? Kind of split things up a tiny bit because, I don't know, just so it's not just one quick thing. But, we can kind of open things up with, my overall thoughts of the All-Star weekend. Not that I'm going to really, you know, get heavy, hardcore into it. Apparently, like many of you didn't watch it either. I watched it a little bit off and on, but it's like during the All-Star game itself, I actually fell asleep. The three-point contest, you know, and as people are talking about, it's the first time ever that people made 20, that all the players made at least 20 points in the three-point contest. To me, it felt like, I don't know, like guys were worse than normal. Like Damian Lillard basically like went backwards into his win. It was like a joke. It's like, ah. So I wasn't all too thrilled to see Damian Lillard win the three-point contest and the All-Star MVP. That was a little bit lame, but I don't know, for some reason, it just didn't do much for me. And the pointing at the watch thing, it's okay. I mean, there's a million worse celebrations, like Steph Curry running down the court after he hit a big shot against the OKC Thunder years ago and running all the way down the court in their house, like acting like he owned the place. It was just, you know, very classless in my opinion, but nobody called him out on it. I still remember, I often reference this, is years ago when Terrell Owens had a touchdown against the Dallas Cowboys when he was still a member of the 49ers, he ran out to the star in the center of the field and put his hands up like as if to kind of show, you know, just to show up the Cowboys and the fan base. And George Teague, the safety, just pile-drived him. And that's pretty much what I would have wanted to do to Steph Curry when he did that years ago to the OKC Thunder. I'll never understand why the over-the-top, like, you know, mockery of the other team is acceptable in this day and age, but I don't know. I'll get off that as soon as possible now. The pointing to the watch is okay. I get it. It's Dame time. But, dude, you missed like five or six shots in a row, and then, oh, well, you made the last one at least. Well, yeah, credit to you, but it's like, okay. Luckily, he was kind of laughing to himself a little bit, like, okay, well, I guess I won. It was kind of okay, so whatever. As for the slam dunk contest, I have a new rant for that one. The slam dunk contest, really? That's what you call that? Oh, boy. It's, gone are the days of Dominic Wilkins, Michael Jordan. Yeah, Vince Carter. I don't know. Vince Carter was a great dunker. I don't know. As a player, I thought he was vastly overrated. As an actual player. As a dunker, fine. Was he better than Michael and Dominique? No. Same category? Yes. Better? No. But, of course, everyone else wants to put him ahead of all the others. I just can't do that. I swear the slam dunk contest started really going downhill when it got to a point, let's see what we can jump over, you know? Let's see what we can jump over. And it's just, it's never going to stop. It, you know, did it start with Blake Griffin jumping over the hood of a car? Not the car, the hood of a car. Woohoo. You know, I mean, it's still good. I mean, don't get me wrong. That's still a pretty good jump. But people made it out like he jumped over a car. No, he didn't. He jumped over the hood of the car, which is significantly lower. Yeah. You know, but it's like, let's see what we can jump over. Let's jump over Shaq. Let's jump over Tatum or whoever the heck else. And it's like, okay, we get it. It's the same damn thing over and over and over. We get the point. And stop giving them high grades. Start giving them like 30s and stuff because we're sick of it. Change it up a little bit. I remember years ago when people were like, oh, that's just the Air Jordan again. You know, okay. Well, I'll take Air Jordan any day over jumping over Shaquille O'Neal 950 times. We get the damn point already. And then a guy who's not even in the NBA is winning the NBA slam dunk contest. Does that make sense? No. So, good, you know, all credit to him, McClung. That's his name, right? McClung. kind of a cool guy, and it's impressive and everything, but I'm sorry, G League contest. Sorry, dude, G League, not NBA. I am sorry, but that's the way it is. Sorry, that's the dunk contest you participate in because that's the league you're in. That's just how it is. I mean, seriously, like, are the NHL All-Stars having AHL players go in the skills competition? NFL, are they having Arena League players, winning skills competitions? It's kind of weird. It just doesn't make any sense. It takes the quality and the value out of the sport when you're kind of going out of bounds a little bit. It's not offensive or anything, but it's out of bounds. It's like, what are you doing? We're happy for you. And it's also really sad that it's gotten to that point. Like, we have to go down to the G League to find the best dunker. I'm sure there's better dunkers in the NBA. I'm sure there are. It's sad how nobody wants to participate in this or that. And also, again, the creativity was really lacking. Jaylen Brown, Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he was the big name there, and good for him. Most of his dunks, he was doing the same thing over and over and over. It's kind of sad. I say either get rid of it or, I don't know, figure out something. I mean, guys, the creativity is just gone. I mean, just look at commercials today and tell me creativity isn't completely vanished off the face of the earth. Like, you think commercials are creative? Like the Super Bowl commercials, were they creative? Not even close to what they were back in the day. Not even close. Not even close. But, okay, there were a couple of entertaining ones like a good neighbor. Okay, no, it's neighbor. But isn't that offensive? You're making fun of a guy's accent. That's offensive. You should be fired from your job and never be seen from the rest of your life. You should be buried in a hole because you made fun of somebody who isn't from America's accent. You racist. That's kind of how, that's kind of how society is nowadays. Okay, I'll get off of that rant now and let's look at the previews. The All-Star Weekend was meh at absolute best. Absolute best. I could honestly sum up the whole slam dunk contest situation up in this.
Are you kidding me? It's
gets better.
Are you serious? You gotta
But anyhow, four games to review. Let's go. Come on. Right? To get on with it. The Milwaukee Bucks or the Milwaukee Schmucks? I don't know. They're not as good as they used to be, and they're, what, five games worse than the Wolves now? As we'll never forget, Adrian Griffin's firing. The Timberwolves had the exact same record as the Milwaukee Bucks. Minnesota Timberwolves, could you imagine them firing the best coach in franchise history? Even, again, Jim Peterson says so. And I'll never forget the minute, and I've said this probably 50 times or more, the minute Chris Finch did his first press conference or second press conference or whatever it was, like not, you know, like after, you know, post-game press conference, I just put my feet up and was like, oh my, oh, this is very enjoyable. Listen to him. Ah, this is what I've been talking about all this time. Sounds like he's been listening to Timberwolves Explosion. No, I'm just kidding. Kind of like that. Not really, but kind of like that. You know, like common sense, high percentage shots, rather than just kind of forcing things. I don't know. Like, whatever. Let's just move on. I'm babbling here. The injury situation, of course, the only Timberwolf hurt. He's recovering. Jalen Clark from the Achilles about a year ago. Let's not forget the NBA and Achilles. Usually, you know what I mean. Pat Connaughton, knee, Feb 22nd. That's not good. Danilo Gallinari, so that's where he is, huh? Not injury related. Yeah, I think he may be just be getting acquired, I guess. I wish the Wolves could have got him. Feb 22nd. Giannis, that guy, the Greek freak. Knee, also Feb 22nd. So we'll see who actually plays in the game. The Schmucks, the Bucks, whatever you want to call them. Well, they're 2-3 in their last five. They lost to the Wolves. They got crushed by the Wolves. They killed Charlotte by like 40 points almost. Beat Denver 112-95. Annihilated by Miami. What the heck? 123-97, and then edged by Memphis 113-110 on Feb 15th. Obviously, again, pre-All-Star break. The only game the Wolves played was the 129-105. This is the season finale. Will the Wolves sweep in Target Center? I think so. Otherwise, anyhow, the Bucks, the comparisons, number two in the league in offense. The Wolves 17th. So the Wolves still have a chance to be in the top half of the NBA offensively. So it's not like we're way down there. Has there been conversations about that? We have the number one defense in the league, but our offense is, you know, questionable a little bit. But at least it's getting a little better, and how teams, you know, obviously that win championships need to have kind of both, you know what I mean? Like both of the aspects of the game need to be fairly high. The two major aspects called offense and defense. Rebounds, 11th, Wolves 12th. I may have already said that. 3-point percentage, the Wolves are third in the league. The Bucks are 9th. What am I looking at? Turnovers, the Wolves are 25th, the Bucks are 11th. Assist to turnover, the Bucks are 10th, and the Wolves are 22nd. Block shots, the Wolves are 6th, the Bucks are 14th. And steals, the Bucks are 16th, the Wolves are 16th, and the Bucks are 22nd. If I ever get that out correctly. The Wolves, by the way, 4-1 in our last 5. The last loss was Feb 6 versus the Bulls, and that was a bullcrap game. Obviously, you have two megastars in Lillard and Giannis, but they're struggling big time. It's just kind of how it is. Anthony Edwards is averaging 26.3, and yes, he dogged it pretty good during the skills competition, which is, I don't know, it is what it is, and he dogged it in the All-Star game. Karl-Anthony Towns did have 50 points, so yes, Karl-Anthony Towns was by far the best offensive player in the entire game, but the West got obliterated. You know, what did they lose by, like 25 points or something? In a game that, you know, amassed almost 400 total points because it was a scrimmage. That's really all it is. It's a scrimmage with big-name players. That's pretty much the whole point of the All-Star game, is all these big faces, these big names being there. Not about the overall quality of the game, unfortunately. And, whoa, the sponsors. Yes, the almighty sponsors, we know. Be it Starry or be it this contribution to this and this contribution to that and so on and so forth. I'll get off that again. I babbled too much. But what the heck, I gotta fill the air, right? Just kidding. Giannis is averaging 30.8 in points anyway, 11.2 rebounds, a little over a block, and he does average almost 6.5 assists, where Lillard averages over 6.5 assists and almost 25 points a game. Middleton, the kind of Pippen-ish type player, 14.8. The Bucks defense is pretty good. 5 assists for Middleton as well. So they are moving the ball around pretty good. Malik Beasley is a member of the Bucks, and he's averaging almost 30 minutes a game, 44.4 from outside, which is outstanding. He was definitely a streaky guy with Minnesota in the past, though on occasion Beasley could be a hero. To me, he's more of like a better version of Anthony Peeler in a lot of ways. He's that style of player, a streaky guy who can, you know, be a spark plug shooting guard who can shoot sometimes, but sometimes he'll shoot you out of games like Anthony Peeler did. A million times, and in other times he took on too big of a role, and he was an ass about it. But then again, he was nice to me when I met him, though. So I'm not trying to be like that, be a jerk to him. But at times he wasn't, he was interesting. Enough of that. Patrick Beverley, 4 games so far with the Schmucks, averaging almost 15 minutes a game, 3 points and 2.5 steals and rebounds, basically. So okay, I mean he's what he is, and he's very impressed with us and all that. What was he saying? We're going to get Morris. So we'll just cross that bridge when we get there. I guess we never did. We did get Monte Morris, but are we going to get Marcus? We got Monterey Jack. No, I'm kidding. We got Monte Morris, yes. The Wolves will beat the Bucks. We're going to sweep the series, which is insane. I don't remember the last time the Wolves swept the Bucks. I'm not sure we ever did, but maybe we did in the past. Not completely sure. They've always been a really tough matchup. Regardless who stunk of the two of us, it was a tough matchup. Or if we both stunk. I mean, we've had some historic losses in Milwaukee, like crazy ones. Like, oh my God, what happened? Just like with the Warriors, you know, even pre-Curry or just when Curry got there, when the Warriors would just annihilate us. Like even the year the Wolves were the best team in the league, pretty much, Bob Sura and co. Yes, Bob Sura and the Warriors beat the Timberwolves by 22 points twice. It was like ridiculous. Yep, that was pretty much when I started really getting annoyed with the Warriors. It was around that time and their fan base, because they're louder than hell. As for that, the Wolves will beat the Bucks. Now that I've babbled enough, final score along the likes of 122. That's what I'm saying on my little crystal ball. Not really. 122 to 110. Wolves win by 12. Karl-Anthony Towns, 30. Maybe Anthony Edwards, 70, but no, I'm kidding. The Los Angeles Clippers, again. We get to play the Clippers again. They've been some epic matchups all season. Some really good ones, obviously, and the Wolves crushed them pretty good. 121 to 100 in an absolute statement game. I just put the Clippers down. It's the Brooklyn Nets. Oh, Lord. I knew I wasn't right about that. Doggone it. It's the Brooklyn Nets. Why did I say the Clippers? Yeah, it's Brooklyn. I don't know. Maybe I got DeAndre Jordan on the mind. I have no idea. You son of a... Yep, that totally figures. Brooklyn. Bro. Hey, bro. Yeah, I've got the... These guys have been traded so many times. It's sad. Spencer Dinwiddie's on the Los Angeles Lakers now. I don't know who's on the frickin'... who the heck is on the frickin'... Brooklyn Nets. This is a back-to-back, and they're both in Target Center, thankfully. So, back-to-back games in Target Center. Derek Whitehead, shin. He got kicked in the shins by his girlfriend. I don't know. January the 15th must have been quite a kick. Who knows? I'm just messing around. Yeah, we've had some low-scoring, extremely close games with them in the past, in the last X amount of years or so. 96-94, very close. Not a particularly good game. The Wolves shot like dog dookie, but held the Bucks down to only Bucks. The Nets, God almighty, down to only 24 points. The Nets have been sucking. They're 1-4 in their last five, and they have been really, 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 really sucking. I mean, sucking. Wow. Cleveland, who's actually in first place now ahead of the Bucks. If you can believe it, the Cleveland Cavaliers are in first place. 115-95. That's all. They just annihilate the Nets. The Nets get past the Spurs by 20, yay, and then get just absolutely, well, they got beat by 8 in one game versus Boston in Brooklyn, and then they head to Boston and they lose by 50. Well, what'd you expect? It's Boston, you know, they're the best team in the league, but no, they lost by 50 points. Do you understand? That's so bad. 136-86. What the heck? Jeez. And then they lose to Toronto. I mean, it's on the road and everything, but 123-93. I mean, what's going on? What's up with the Nets? Gosh, I guess they're tanking, I guess. I mean, they really are, like trading players away. And yeah, they should tank. They're 21-34. Their record is awful. Beat the Nets. It's a potential trap game. You betcha it is. But if the Wolves hold true, they should be able to win comfortably over the Brooklyn Nets, kind of like against the Portland Trail Blazers. Like one of those games where maybe it's like, maybe we kind of mess around a little bit, unfortunately, because we're kind of tired, and then you pull away, kind of like the first, you know, when it was a back-to-back situation with Portland after the Clipper game, you know, after crushing the Clippers. It was kind of a back and forth, and then the Wolves started pulling away as the game progressed. That's how I see this one going. Mikal Bridges, like him a lot, 21.7 a game. Wouldn't mind him on the Wolves, but let's not get too greedy here. We got some pretty nice players on the Timberwolves last time I checked. 37.2. from downtown. Not many great three-point shooters on this club except Lonnie Walker IV, the former Los Angeles Laker who got red hot in the postseason for L.A. Is Dennis Schroeder there now? Dennis Schroeder's on the Bucks, or on the... I keep calling them the Bucks. What's up with that? The Nets. Why is he there? Gosh, you'd think he'd be on a contender. What the heck? I don't know, but I guess that's the way it goes. Maybe they're going to buy him out or something, or the... Who knows? That's weird. Kata Bates-Jopp, of course, he's been on like 17 teams already. Royce O'Neal, big fan. He was a possible trade candidate once upon a time. Dennis Smith Jr., what happened? Remember when he was a huge prospect? Oh, and this other guy, Ben Simmons. Yeah, you maybe heard of him before. Wasn't he like the number one pick in the draft or something? Yeah, wow. 25 minutes. Yeah, 6 points, six assists. Or no, what am I looking at? 6 points, six rebounds, and six assists. Wow. Wow, that doesn't sound good. You better alter those numbers a little bit, buddy. That's a number one overall pick right there. And I'm not trying to rip on him, and I know my wonderful, awesome Kings of Timberwolves Explosion Australian listeners are, and yes, you are the Kings of, well, obviously along with New Zealand, of course. Come on now, Joey, right? I love you guys. I love Australia, but and I know you love Ben Simmons and all that and want to support him. Oh, boy. But I'm sure if I listen to... No, he is averaging 8 rebounds. I'm looking at the wrong thing. It was 6 defensive rebounds. So 8 rebounds. That's actually really impressive. But, excuse me, him being Ben Simmons. I know you love him, but, man, what a bummer, huh? What a bummer. Seriously, what a bummer. I think he should have been better. Talented, but just the offensive game was not there from the get-go. His field goal percentage is 59%, though. What the heck? So he's playing very close to the basket, and he's very tall. He's long. So let's get off of that. Let's look at the Bucks comparison and all that. The Bucks are 21st in points, 9th in rebounds. Field goal percentage is 26th. I think I'd mentioned that. 15th in threes. The Wolves are third, like I mentioned in the past. 13th in assists. 5th in turnovers. Okay, good job. 5th in assists to turnovers. 12th in blocks and 22nd in STLs. But the Wolves, like I said, will pull away. It's going to be close for a while, and the Wolves pull away and win kind of comfortably, something along the likes of 108 to 90, something like that. I think the Wolves pull away. Nah, maybe it's more like, I don't know. Yeah, 108 to 90. It's going to be low, low, low. 108 to 93 or something like that. I mean, I don't know if the Nets would only get 90 points in this day and age, but they might. Who knows? They're a mess. So, yeah, 108 to 90. I'll stick to my guns on that one. Gotta go with my convictions, you know. It's this important stuff, right? So now we're going to go with San Antonio coming up here, you know, Wemby's club. But boy, oh boy, that's about all they got going for them other than Vessel. Vessel. I love Vessel. Awesome player, but he's not the best. Sunday and Monday, the Wolves are off, by the way, and they get back-to-back, two back-to-back. So that's interesting. So the schedule's easier in terms of the difficulty of the opponent, but there's some back-to-backs. Luckily, there's a lot of home games as well. Victor Wembanyama, if I ever say it right. Yeah, his numbers keep dropping gradually. Marcus Morris Sr., the future Timberwolf, not injury-related. Feb 22nd, I don't know if he's cut or what the deal is going on there. Charles Bassey, not Barkley, knee injury or something like that. And mid-December, so on and so forth. Spurs are 24th in points, 16th in rebounds, 30th in three-point percentage, bottom of the league at 34%. The bottom. So they'll probably torch us, right? Second in assists. Yeah, pretty good. 28th in turnovers, though, so they're a little bit of a mess. But still 10th in assists to turnover ratio and 4th in block shots. Thank you, Wemby. And 19th in STLs. Did the Spurs beat the Wolves this year? Yeah, they did. I remember that. Yeah. God, that was the last game. Well, you better win this rubber match here and not let them tie the season series. This is in Target Center on Tuesday, the 27th of February. We played close to these guys all year. Kind of like the Brooklyn Nets. They're kind of like the Brooklyn Nets of the Western Conference right now. They're like the same in a lot of ways. Like, kind of, I don't know. Defensive-minded team, you know, that's not real good and has had all kinds of weird changes and such. But they do have a future star, so to speak. Where do the Nets have that? I don't know right now. I don't think so. But they hang tight with the Wolves for some reason. 117-110 Wolves win on Friday, November the 10th in San Antonio. In Target Center, the Wolves won 102-94 on December the 6th. 113-112, the Wolves just piddled away a game. Just, what are you doing on Jan 27th? So a whole month later, that was a Saturday night too. Boy, what a fun Saturday night that was, watching the Wolves blow a game versus the Spurs. It was like, what are you doing, you idiots? Oh my Lord, that was depressing. How do you lose that game? But I don't know, that's sports, you know, like they're still NBA players, right? You still got to show up. Yeah, and the Wolves kind of sort of didn't there, did they? It was just awful. Rocco Baldelli, you have anything to say about that game?
It's fucking awful. 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 In every possible way.
Thanks, Rocco. Twins manager, of course. The Twins are getting started soon. Spring training. I guess that's starting right about now. Isn't that cool? Spring training and baseball and all that. Tuesday, February 27th. So on and so forth. The Spurs are, what's their record? They've lost like 100 games this year. Orlando 127-111. Brooklyn 123-103. But they crushed Toronto for some reason. 122-99 at Toronto. Okay. Crushed by Dallas 116 in Dallas 93. And lose a nice back and forth game versus the Sacramento Kings. Have been dropping off the map a bit. They're like eighth now. What the heck? 127-122. So, yep. Hopefully the Wolves match up well against them in the postseason if that ends up happening. Nothing and nobody are going to be... Nobody's going to be easy as far as I'm concerned. Not one opponent is going to be easy in the playoffs, even though you might think they are. I don't want to mess around. I want this team to go all the way, damn it. Victor is averaging only 31% from outside, but still attempting almost 5 a game. Yeah. You can probably guess what I'm thinking. 3 blocks a game, that's great. 10 rebounds, 3 assists. Vassell's averaging 3.5 assists. Even his three-point percentage is not good. Well, not great. It's okay. It's adequate. 37.4. It's McDermott, who's like the three-point specialist, who some people thought the Wolves would go after, about 44% from downtown, though only averaging 6 points a game. But he plays a role, basically. He's pretty much a shooter. You know, that's it. So we'll see what happens with that. Keldon Johnson, he's had some moments, I suppose. 16 points a game. That's not anything to sneeze at. Almost 6 rebounds and 3 assists. Jeremy Shockin, not Jeremy Shockey, the former NFL tight end with the New York Giants, but whatever. maybe he could play tight end. I don't know. 11 points, 6 rebounds, 3.5 assists. A lot, you know, they move the ball around. That's why they're third in the league in assists. Charles, yeah, they really do. So, yeah, Trey Jones, almost 6 assists a game. He's like the main PG point guard, but he's averaging only 27% from outside. Pooh Richardson, eat your heart out. Good player, but he couldn't shoot worth a lick, man. I don't know. At least certainly not from the free throw line. I mean, who ever heard of a point guard for like a 55% free throw percentage? That's bleeping awful. It is. Rocco Baldelli might have something to say about that, too, but we'll leave that just to once a show. Sorry, Rocco, but your contributions are fantastic, but I don't want to overexpose you too much, and I know you're busy working with the Twins over there in Florida. Florida. As some New Yorker might call it. Some transplant from New York might say. The Wolves should beat the Spurs. They should. And they better. This, you know, let's sweep this week. We need to sweep. The Wolves kind of have to sweep this week. But you just got that crappy feeling. They're going to drop something. I don't know. They might drop this one. They might drop the Memphis one. Memphis has been playing everybody tough. That's what I'm a little bit worried about. Yeah, even with Big Mouth guy out for the year. Because, well, first he was suspended, comes back, was great. They started playing way better. And then he gets hurt out for the season, and they still play good, even though he's out for the season. Him being Big Jaw with a Big Mouth Morant. Houston's dropped off the face of the earth for some reason. What the hell? They were good. They've been scrubbed. That's the best way to put it. They're scrubbed. And New Orleans, with the lemon and the tomato juice right here, is in first place. That's a toast to the New Orleans Pelicans and the city of Nollins and all that. The Southerners, I like lemon and tomato juice. Yep. Wolves will beat the Spurs, though, if I ever get to the damn point. They're 11-45. They suck, you know, but it is what it is. I'm just being honest with you. The Wolves will win the game. Final score along the likes of... They haven't been high scoring, have they? So we're going to go with really low... You know, it's going to be kind of like the Nets again, like I said. Maybe a little higher. 115. 115 to 110 is going to be annoying, but the Wolves will survive Les Spells. But who's next? Memphis. And again, they are a pain in the butt, and it is a back-to-back. Why do I have a crappy feeling that this is the one? This is the trap game. It just reeks of it. Again, it's a schedule. You look at the teams and their record, win-loss record. You know, the Bucks, the Spurs, the Memphis Grizzlies. Like, come on. I mean, the Bucks have been terrible with the quack, not the doctor, but the quack Rivers. You know, they've not been good with him. The Spurs have a terrible record. What's the other team? I didn't even remember. Oh, yeah, the Brooklyn Nets. They're all kind of dangerous, though, aren't they? Jaren Jackson, quad injury, and he is. But if he's healthy, holy crap, he gave us hell. Scottie Pippen Jr., back injury, Feb 12th. Jake LaRivia, Ankel, as of Jan 13th. John Morant out for the season. He's not even listed, but he is out for the season with, I believe, what do they call that? Oblique? 30th in points, bottom of the barrel, last place. 29th in field goal percentage, second last place. 25th in rebounds, fifth last place. You get the point. Three-point percentage, 29th, second last, yeah. 23rd in assists, 24th in turnovers, 27th in assist to turnover ratio, but third in blocks, thank you, Jaren Jackson Jr., not the original one. It was a shooting guard with the Spurs who couldn't shoot really well. Sorry, Jaren Sr. Steals per game, 7th. The Wolves are sweeping the season series so far. Will we complete the sweep? Thankfully, this is in Target Center on Feb 28th, the second last day of February, once every 4 years. Usually it is the last day. So into March we go in the next episode when we do our previews. And probably when I do the next show, it will be March the 1st. Cool. The Wolves have beaten this team pretty good, but they gave us a hell of a time, I believe, recently with Jaren Jackson. Gave us one hell of a time. He's a tough player. Luckily, it was one of those deals where the Wolves would pull away. Okay, the Wolves are going to complete the sweep. Complete the season sweep of the Memphis Grizzlies and a sweep of this week. The Wolves will go 4-0. 4-0. I'm scared to death of something happening here, but the way the Wolves have been playing of late, it's awesome, but I hope the Wolves save a bunch of this energy. I hope the Wolves save a bunch of this energy for, you know, when it really matters, like into May. Like, let's go on a real playoff run here. I don't want to just get to the second round and then get upset by someone. Bullcrap. Screw that. You know, and I really, the sure as bleep don't want to get upset in the first round by a certain Northern Cal team. And, Mr. Reese Pedretti, I hope I didn't piss you off and you know, make you want to just say, screw this guy, when I, you know, with my endless bashing of the Warriors. I apologize. You know, I apologize to you. You know, it's just they got on my nerves over the years, and you probably figured that out like 10 years ago. So I apologize, though, if I'm too much about it. I'm going to try to tone down. I really need to. But it would really suck to lose to them in the first round. Let me put it that way. And that could be a real possible matchup, not a possible scenario, I hope. Most people think the Wolves will win easily, but we'll see. I'm not comfortable until that series is over. I'm sorry. The Wolves will sweep the Memphis Grizzlies. That would be Wayne Hunt's club, the host of the Courtside Podcast, which has been in hiatus forever, and I miss you guys so much. Wayne Hunt, Vince Germano, Stu Benson, please come back. Please. Please come back. Please come back. It's sad. What am I still doing here if you guys are gone? Come on. Come back, guys. Yeah, no, I mean, I just don't want to go away, but I suppose with two or three people, it's a lot harder to get organized. That's why me and Marcus the Forecaster, the recording was so sporadic, because Marcus the Forecaster, keeping a schedule, unless absolutely there's money involved, people are very difficult to get to commit to things. It's just the way it is, unless it's like a guaranteed money or something. But that's just how it is. That's why I go solo, folks. I don't want to mess with that anymore. It's, you can damage your friendships and such. But then again, other people are fantastic about it. So, but I'm totally cool doing it myself. There I go into some personal stuff that I didn't need to do. It's just how it is. You know, it can damage friendships, though, if you know, it can. So luckily things get better if you move on from all that. You don't fight each other anymore. So that's a good thing. Memphis, they've won 2 in a row. They beat Houston and Milwaukee back-to-back, but both of those teams are falling off the face of the earth. Before that, Memphis had lost to the Bulls, the Hornets, and the New Orleans Pelicans, respectively, all by about 8 or 9 points, basically, along the way. Like, literally 8 or 9 points in every one of those games. So, kind of hanging in there, but losing at the end of the day. The Memphis Grizzlies. The Wolves will sweep the season series, and this week, the final score will be something along the likes of, because Memphis's offense is so putrid, like, they're just, of course, they have played a little better lately. Wolves are going to win the game. I keep babbling and wasting your time. 115, 113, 113 to 101. The Wolves will win over the Bucks, the Grizzlies, pardon me. Wow. And Anthony Edwards with 28. It's not going to be too much, but 28-ish. Versus the Spurs, Anthony Edwards with 35. Versus the Nets, Carl Anthony Towns with 35. So, yep, now that I brought the names up. And Carl with 30 versus the Bucks. So that's how I'm standing with that. With that said, again, the the Lone Wolf Award winner for this episode is Carl Anthony Towns for scoring 50 points. Yeah, I know it's a meaningless 50 points, but hey, he showed up and he was the leading scorer of the entire All-Star game. It ain't Anthony Edwards. He's getting the Johnny Flynn Memorial for pretty much dogging it in the All-Star game and in the skills competition. I understand why. You're kind of banged up and such. You'd probably rather be resting. But at the same time, I bet there's people that, man, I wish I was there and blah, 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 because I want to get recognized. Not necessarily because you want to be there, but the recognition is what matters the most. Like, there's something over on the table right now. I'll just leave it like as is. You don't know how much it meant to me to finally get bleeping recognized. Finally, you know? It takes half your life sometimes, but you finally get recognized for something positive rather than just, you know, oh, good job and do it again. You know, that's kind of annoying, but that's how life is, though, isn't it? 100%. With that said, I'll take a quick break, and I actually gave out a Lone Wolf and Johnny Flynn, didn't I? But one guy completely dogged it, and the other guy put in 50 points and almost won the three-pointer competition as well. He was pretty good. So Karl-Anthony Towns deserves something, geez, for that. The rest of the team, hope you have a wonderful, wonderful rest. Coming back healthier and all that, healthier, you know, closer to 100%, I guess, even though nobody's 100%, but closer, you know, valuable rest time for guys like Conley. And, I'll get into him in a second as well. I'll probably save that for the second segment. But, yeah, guys like Conley and Rudy Gobert and everybody else, frankly, again. So, thankfully, a lot of rest time afterward for all the players. With that said, we'll take a quick break and come back for some fan interaction. Are you looking for a really nice Timberwolves-related Facebook page out there with cool fans and a wonderful host? Well, look no further than Wolfpack from Flip to Finch, hosted by Scott Doherty. He does a great job. Scott Doherty's an awesome guy. And the fan base on there, obviously passionate about the Wolves, but also respectful of other people's opinions regarding the team. Check out the page. It's awesome. Wolfpack from Flip to Finch. Back here on Timberwolves Explosione. Yes, sir, fan interaction segment, and of course, again, some other brief conversation, I suppose you could say, including the Mike Conley contract. We'll get to that in a minute. That's actually wonderful news, but we'll get to fan interaction first. You guys deserve to go to the front of the line here, and I apologize, the show's so the first segment was kind of messing around, but, you know, a lot of little stuff to talk about and a lot of previews as well, so what the heck. At T-Wolves EX, at T-Wolves EX. So we do have two guys out of New Zealand, who I love very much. You also retweeted the last episode. Derek Felska, Levi, and Tanay all retweeted the last episode, and I really appreciate it. Vince, I'm guessing, did, but I don't see it, unfortunately. But even if he didn't, I still appreciate it because you've done it so many times. So, yes, you deserve a ton of credit for that forever. And obviously, you're one of the greatest guys in the world. Tanay Brown leading off the coming out of New Zealand, leading off at first base. No, I'm kidding. He says, didn't watch a single piece of the All-Star weekend. Ha ha. Wolves come up against a struggling Bucks team. That was me. Start the post All-Star break with a good win and build momentum from now, hopefully. Yep, there it is. Mike Conley extension. Also pretty interesting. How old is he at the end of the contract? Yep, I'll come back to that in a momento. Levi Brown says, again, also out of New Zealand, didn't watch any of the All-Star weekend and doesn't sound like I missed much. You're correct. Yep, and I ranted a bit about how stupid the slam dunk competition has gotten. I can see a tough game against the Bucks, who will be looking to regroup after struggling since Quack Rivers became coach. And I said the quack part. That is a little concerning, isn't it? That's what I was just kind of thinking just now. Maybe if we do drop one, it might actually be the first one of the group. Maybe, just maybe. I would hope the Wolves will be ready to go, but you never know. Maybe the Bucks are gonna be on a mission a little bit. They have finally won a couple games lately, but they're still kind of generally not playing all that great. Really appreciate you guys, and I will continue to put out the bat signals. I mean, even just one decent comment is good enough, you know. But if you want to give 3 or 4 or 5 or 6, please do. If you have a lot to say, jump on board. But even just one comment is a hell of a lot better than nothing. And I apologize for not being as interactive in the past. You know, I need to be more and more and more, maybe get things going. Maybe Vince was busy, probably just like checked out because it's a stupid All-Star break. So, understood. So, let's get to the contracts and contract. So, what's, like you said, how old is he going to be, him being Mike Conley? So, we'll get to the point here. Right now, Mike Conley's making $24,360,000. The contract extension is 2 years for $22 million. So, yeah, that's not bad. $22 million total. Not so. It's actually less. The total of the next 2 years is less than this year. Think about that. So that's a, you know, nice cap relief, honestly, considering it, we're approaching that curtain of, like, you know, the maximum range where we could be in, you know, we could be paying luxury tax and such, we being the Wolves. Carl Anthony Towns is 49-53 and such. Anthony Edwards is going to be way up there as it progresses. So this year, yeah, because Anthony Edwards goes from 13 this year to 35.25 next year. So that's pretty high. But Mike Conley, 2 years, $10,243,000 this year, or next year, pardon me, and then $10,76,000 the year after. And then I believe he would be about 38 years of age. He's an unrestricted free agent going into the summer of 26, him being Mike Conley. Making a little less than Naz Reid. Naz Reid has a player option going into next year, after next year, player option in a 25-26, $15 million bucks. So does he want to raise or so on and so forth? Monte Morris is a UFA, $9.8 million. Wow, that's a lot for what, but then again, he was pretty good though. And Kyle Anderson, 9.2 UFA. It's a pretty good chance he will not be back, but we'll see. Kyle has bird rights, early bird rights. Monte has bird rights, general bird rights. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 4.3 million. 4.6 this year and 4.3 next year, so it's actually slightly less. It was slightly front-loaded, and then early bird rights going forward. So, Mucho interesting. So that's interesting how that looks. Jane McDaniels is signed until 2030. No, I don't know, basically. It's a while, and good for him. Deshaun next two-way, Jalen Clark two-way, da-da-da-da-da. Justin Jackson, yep, the Wolves signed him to 10 years. No, it's 10 days. 10 days. That's really funny. $116,000. So, yep, so we'll see. That's a lot of money to make in 10 days. That'd be great. Oh, I wish I could sign a 10-day contract. Let me, practice my free throws, shoot some threes in the background or whatever. Oh, wouldn't that be fun? anyhow, Wendell Moore Jr., restricted free agent eventually. But, yeah, we'll see. Wendell Moore's contract next year. Maybe some kind of a club. But it looks like they already exercised it. Yep, I see a little check mark. Can't imagine why the Wolves had exercised Jaden McDaniels one. What are you thinking? But then, of course, the big, big contract kicks in. 22, 24, 26, 28, so on and so forth as it continues to gain backloaded, as most contracts are. They just grow bigger and bigger. Anthony Edwards from 13 to 35 to 38 to 40.8, 43.7, and da-da-da-da-da. So heading closer to 50 range as you go forward. And also the fact that if Anthony Edwards reaches the All-NBA level, he could, he gets that super max like Carl, getting, up there with the third team. So $61 million player option for Carl Anthony Towns in the summer of 27. $61 million. It's a player option, though. I mean, come on. It's his choice. We're giving him his right to choose, right? It's only $61 million bucks. If he turns that down, he could probably get more. Come on. Well, no, I'm just kidding. Maybe more term and commitment. But, yeah, Mike Conley would be 38. So it is what it is. It is what it is. And Mike Conley has been wonderful. Again, his father was an Olympic athlete, gold medalist. So you can understand why Mike Conley has that sleek look. And he just, obviously, he's been load managed a tiny bit lately, and it's understandable because you don't want to mess with that. A healthy and spry Mike Conley in the postseason could mean NBA championship. It could. An injured and battered Mike Conley could mean Sam Cassell 2.0. We don't want that here. We just don't. All of you that are old enough to remember 20 years ago can remember the heartbreak and the pain and suffering we had going from Sam Cassell to Derek Bleeping Martin, because Troy Hudson, of course, got injured 5 seconds into the season years ago, about 20 years ago. Troy Hudson, Kevin Garnett's best friend that he had to mention in his Hall of Fame speech. Troy Hudson and Trenton Hassell. Yeah, the guys that really helped our salary cap situation along the way. Yeah, wonderful. Wonderful. Thanks for the memories. Anyhow. Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's a very sour point for me. Yeah, McLaughlin, he's a UFA again. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on with McLaughlin going forward. He does have bird rights, but don't expect a huge jump in salary. We'll see. Extension eligible right now is Jordan McLaughlin. So he Monte Morris extension eligible. So we'll see. Think about it. Yeah, like Monte Morris is making $10 million. It'd be funny if both Morris and Conley are making about the same, but that's okay. You get both of them. It's a 2-for-1, baby. BOGO. It's a BOGO deal. You buy one, and you get one free. You get Monte Morris. But yeah, you go from the $24 million to you know, about $20 million for both of them, 24 for just Connolly, to $20 million for both. If you say Monte to like a 10-year, maybe 3 years, $30 million or something. Just kind of, you know, whatever the word is. What do they call that? The estimating. I don't know. Just kind of guesstimating, estimating. And all that cute stuff. Rudy Gobert is extension eligible going into next year, but we'll cross that bridge if and when we get there. So he's been wonderful this year. There's no doubt about it. Conley still says it, but he got his extension. So now we're hanging on for a bit. Bird rights, of course, in the summer of 26. Now that I mentioned that about 17 times. I don't know. It's nice to look at these players. I really appreciate every one of them, and hopefully Monte Morris becomes a bigger and bigger threat as we go forward, becomes a bigger contributor to this Timberwolves team and their success going forward into the postseason. Obviously, the rest of the regular season, I mean, we're going to need him. It's for so many reasons. Obviously, that sharp shooting and just his assist to turnover ratio is, you know, outstanding. He's a lot like Tyus Jones, just not as expensive, basically. You know, we didn't have to trade like the moon to get him. The players we traded away, you know, they're good enough players, especially Troy Brown Jr. I like him, and it's kind of sad to see him go. Where Shake, well, he's got a bigger role in Detroit, and more power to him. Shake Milton, that is. With that said, please do put a positive rating, if you could. 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's been lonely and stupid for a while. It's been a while, so please help the algorithms of the show. Sorry I get into weird rants. I don't know, I'm a little bit on the odd side, but I'd like to believe I know the game of basketball a decent amount, and I, you know, have a huge passion for it, and I very much appreciate this team and what they've accomplished this year so far, and I really don't want it to end. I mean, I really don't want this to end. I remember the years, the Garnett years, first round exit, and then finally we break through. You know, like Kevin McHale says, okay, screw it, we're going to go for a win now approach with Cassell and Sprewell. Unfortunately, it was just a one and done type of deal, you know, shelf life type of thing. But what's so much different from this team compared to that one, when you consider, yeah, you had Garnett, a defensive player of the year type of guy. You know, he won the MVP that year. His offense was really good, not as good as Anthony Edwards, so on and so forth. But the difference, though, obviously you had the other two quote-unquote stars on the team, especially Cassell. I can't call Sprewell a star. Back in the day, yes, with the Warriors and the Knicks, not the Wolves, I'm sorry. He was not a star in the Wolves. He just wasn't. Did you watch? You know, seriously, he was like a shell of what he was before. He was still good. He still had moments, but yeah, just be honest with ourselves. There's, you know, you don't have to worry as much about shelf life. You know, the oldest of the three stars on the team is Rudy Gobert, and he's, you know, not the kind of guy you have to worry about. He's kind of the Garnett, like the defensive player who can score. But he's like even better defensively, but less offensively. So it's kind of like offset. He's kind of the Garnett. Obviously not as good. Towns, a lot of us saw him as a Garnett, but he's more of an offensive player. But, you know, and he's still just entering his prime. Like imagine he's kind of like Gugliotta when he first got here. And he was an all-star right away. Tom Gugliotta. So he's kind of like the Gugliotta. And then you have Anthony Edwards, who's the Garnett now, so to speak. Great defensive player as such. And you still also have... you still have Naz Reid, who's still super young, only 24. A wonderful piece, who's not on his way out. You have Jaden McDaniels, who's 23. If he can keep his temperamental, you know, he can keep his temperament down. Huge, huge, valuable piece. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who's like the Trent and Hassel role, but not costing nearly as much. His salary is going to go up, but I don't think it's going to kill us. See, we already have the pieces. We already have the pieces to not only be good, but stay good. And you don't have to worry about the shelf like next year, oh, he's going to drop off, or he's got a huge attitude. Like, Cassell was a great player, but he had a huge attitude. Like, it would take, like, the first year he's there, like, with the Wolves, with the Bucks, with the Clippers, with the Nets, his whole blankety-blank career, it was like that. As awesome as he was, and I love Cassell. But his first year or so with this ex-head coach, it was like a marriage made in heaven. The next year, it was like divorce, you know, like, we're this is not going to work out. It was always like that, and it was annoying. Such a damn shame. And again, he was also, again, older. See, Conley's like the Cassell in terms of like that veteran point guard who's so valuable, but he's aged, you know, and such. But you don't get the attitude. You don't. And it didn't take long to re-sign Mike Conley. And you don't hear anybody talking about feeding their family or anything. You know, I mean, Sprewell was, what is he making? Yeah, he was like 14 to 7. Oh, I got a family to feed. Well, Nikhil Alexander-Walker is probably feeding his family at 4.6 in a much worse economy than then in terms of, you know, dollar value and such. Okay, I've gone on forever, but hopefully he didn't mind my little conversation there, what I had to say. But, you know, I'm looking at the salaries and conversation and such. But yes, please do help with the algorithms of the show. It is on YouTube if you want to go there. But obviously, YouTube Music is the mobile app. And of course, even YouTube is mobile. Like, who sits in front of their computer anymore? You know, obviously, you can have stuff on the TV if you want to watch videos and you're at home and such. You can put your YouTubes there. But anyhow, please do put positive ratings for the show if you could. 5-star ratings on whatever app you use that allows you to do so. Share the show, retweet, repost, remix on Instagram, whatever you want to do. But I really appreciate the support that those of you have given me over the years. And anybody new out there, introduce yourself. Say hello. Please do. Please say hello. I'd love to hear from you. With that said, have yourself a wonderful week and go Timberwolves.